I don't know about you, but I often get distracted to the extent that at times I get to where I'm going, to a room, and I'm standing there thinking, now what did I come in this room for anyway? Now, I don't want you to think that I'm losing it, give you that impression, but you know, I have a quick mind, and at the same time, it's difficult to multitask. Listen to 2-3 conversations that are going on while you're shaving with a straight razor and measuring a board for a final cut. I just can't keep up with that. I can always stay on course by myself, but it's difficult to stay on course with what you have set, the course you have set, and the course that others have set that are walking with you. So my rhetorical question to you is, do you know where you're going, and have you set your course to arrive at your planned destination? If you haven't, I strongly suggest that you find the purpose and mission God has for your life and plot a course to that destination. And once you do, stay on course. Don't let people take you astray. In fact, walk with people who are headed in the same direction and can encourage you along the way. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. There are 3 points I'd like to make from this verse. First of all, the word revelation here is in the ecstatic state or oracle, a prophecy, a divine communication. Unless you have had a divine communication, it's saying, you're going to stray. You're going to fall off that course. It's going to have no restraint. Another way of saying it is you're going to aimlessly wander. And there are 3 points that I'd like to make from this simple little verse in Proverbs 29. The first is, if you haven't received a revelation, a divine communication from the Lord, you need to get one. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if you don't receive a divine communication, you're going to wander aimlessly, and you may wind up on that wide road that leads to destruction. And thirdly, and my third and final point on that verse, Proverbs 29:18-19, is that God has provided you, notice this, with his word, and that is keep the law. And if you open your mind and your heart to the word of God, to the Bible, the scripture, you will receive the divine revelation or communication. And you will be on mission. You will have a course that you can set, and you can be a happy person. Nothing's better than knowing your destiny in life, knowing your purpose in life. We all have one, and God has one for you. Now, we advertise our church as a church without walls, networking Christ to the community and the world. If you were to ask me what our vision is, I would say our vision is to become a church that mirrors and reflects the revelation of the church given to the Apostle Paul. And then he sent that letter, revealing and writing out that revelation to the church at Ephesus as a cyclical letter that was to go from church to church. When you look at that, I'm not sure I'm the first one to recognize that when we study the book of Ephesians, we tend to do it like any normal study that we would have, and we go through the verses. But when we really look closely at it, we find that really Ephesians is describing a church for all times, a church that God always has wanted and may have existed at times in different places. I don't know if it has, but I know that it will. I know that God will have the people and the church that will accomplish the work he has purpose for it to do here on planet Earth. That much I can say. I'm sure of that. And as I said, seeing that this letter was sent to the church at at Ephesus, but that church, it didn't quite make it. In the end, in the book of Revelation, you'll read that it had lost its first love. It had a lot of good things. It tried hard, but it missed the most important thing, perhaps, and that is a loving, continuing, growing relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, what we find in that church in Ephesus is it's a church with a mature, fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4, that is equipping believers, that is people like you and me, for the work of service, the work of ministry, and that it is building itself up in love, while at the same time, it continues to grow into the fullness that belongs to Christ himself. It's a beautiful church. And as you continue in the following chapters, you find how it lives out its life, fulfilling the purpose of God, and not only fulfilling God's purpose, but a loving marriage, wonderful children, a church that's set for warfare, that can stand against the forces of darkness in any condition, a church that knows one another, the people know one another, they pray for one another. You might say they're in it together for the love of Christ and the purpose that Christ has for them. So if you wanted a slogan that would remind you and tell the world who we are and what we are, it would be every man complete in Christ. Now let me say this about every man. The word man translated here actually means every person or individual, regardless of sex, that is God has made to follow him. So it is all inclusive, meaning mankind, every person, complete in Christ, every man complete in Christ. And we get this from Colossians chapter 1. I'll begin reading it verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So what Paul is saying very simply is that, look, I've go through a lot of stuff working, but I'm working for the people that God has called me to serve. And he does this gladly. He's making up for what needs to be done in his afflictions that was missing, that Christ didn't have to do because he sent him to do it. And he sends you and I to do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. Christ completed our redemption on the cross. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. But on the other hand, here on earth, we have to be Christ-like and imitate him and bring his ministry and his love to others. And so that's not always easy. He goes on to say, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And I want to say this for a moment, stewardship. What does that mean exactly? Well, actually, it's a term that we could think of it as a manager of a household, somebody that puts things, affairs, and specifically oversight and administration of someone else's property. And in this case, he is looking over the church, the people of God, and he's watching over them. He's overseeing them. That's another interpretation of the word. And an overseer is one who looks in on the well-being of people to encourage them and bring them along. That's exactly what Paul is doing. And he goes on to say in verse 26 that the mystery which has been given, has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That is, the mystery is now revealed. That's what he's saying. That mystery is now revealed to whom God willed to make it known. And what is the riches of his glory of this ministry in the Gentiles, which is, what's the ministry? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, we preach him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's a beautiful passage, if you look at that. What an incredible incredible mission he has, to see the people be built up in Christ, to become like Christ, and to carry out the work that Christ has called them to do here on planet Earth. It's amazing. And he goes on to say, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to the power which mightily works in me. That passage is Colossians 1, verses 24 to 29. I already explained stewardship to you, but as you observe the passage, you'll note that the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You'll also note that the one person that is proclaimed, that is central, is Jesus Christ. And one key verse that must be embraced by everyone who seeks to present every man complete in Christ is this: my children, with whom I am well formed again, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Galatians 4:19. We know that the Lord builds a house, and they that labor in vain, unless he does. So they that labor in vain, unless the Lord builds a house. I believe the Lord has given us ministers and the anointing God can work in and through to accomplish his purpose. That is at our church. And I'm sure there are many other churches like our own. I believe we have many people that have Christ formed in them to the extent that God has and will trust them to help others form Christ in them. So I believe that with the faith and prayer and the Word of God and the leading and anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can be what Christ called us to be. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. And I guess if I had a slogan that I would use for our church, I would say, or just a few words, it would be every man complete in Christ, presenting every man complete in Christ. That would be the goal that we would have, and that we would labor and not cease to labor to see Christ form in us and in others. That means our children. That means our other newer disciples, newer people in the faith. That means we build in our marriages. We build our wives with words of grace and vice versa. We encourage one another. We work towards the goal that God has, that we would be complete in him. A loving people, a caring people, but a people that have courage and power and are not afraid of the things which we face, especially in the present generation in which we live, which is quite confused and quite alarming in many instances. So as I said, I believe with faith and prayer and the Word of God and the leading and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can do what God's called us to do. A lot of reliance on the Holy Spirit here, and that's what we should do. We should be walking and living in the Spirit of God, being directed by him. We read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. His return's getting closer and closer, folks. And our Jesus, he gave himself, verse 14 says, to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. This was Paul's word to Timothy, and it's his word to us also. We can't let our imperfections hinder us from carrying out the word of God. And I'm confident, in fact, in spite of all of our human weaknesses, that God will form his body into all he purposes it to be for his honor and glory and because of his great love for us. Philippians 1:6 is an encouragement that we should have. And I love it, the way it places this or puts this word. And he says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you today, prosper you today. May he draw you closer to him, and may you draw closer to him also, making every effort. Now, effort is not work. We're not talking about working for our salvation. We're not adding something to what Christ has already done. But what we are talking about is spending time with him, getting to know him better, experiencing his love, and letting him know us and show us who we are and perfect us. Don't ever be afraid of good change. It's good for all of us. We just become better people, just in general. And it's not that we're better than anybody else in the sense that we lord it over people, but it's that we now are reflecting the blessed Lord and Savior that gave his own life for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. May God be with you today in all that you set your hand to. May he give you wisdom for your family. May he give you wisdom for your work, for your neighbor, for your friends. And may you be used by him to bring about the glory and the honor to him that he so deserves. God bless you in Jesus' name.